I've told this story before, but my partner, Asha, when I first moved in with her, this was back in 2015, we moved in and something really bothered her. Something really bothered her because I noticed, this is after a few months, I noticed that she wasn't looking at me. And when I walked in the door, she didn't look at me and she wasn't like giving me a hug or a kiss. And not that she's very mushy anyway, but this was a little bit less mushy than normal. And so after a few days, I'm trying to process this. This is a fairly new relationship for both of us. And I'm trying to process what's going on. Where the hell is she? What is going on inside her? She's not looking at me. She's not giving me a kiss. She's not noticing me in the room. And so I finally asked her, what's going on? And her answer was, nothing. That's like, that's the hardest thing to work with. Nothing. But I knew something was going on. I had done a lot of healing and growth, and I've worked on my boundaries, and I've worked on expressing myself. I've worked on being vulnerable. And so when she said nothing, I was reminded of myself in the past, where nothing meant I really have something to say, but I don't want to say it. I want to say something to you, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to deal with the consequences of what might happen if I do say it. So I'm not going to say anything. My personal approach to that in the past was when I was afraid to say something, it was because I was afraid of conflict. And I was also afraid of abandonment and rejection. And so I felt it was better for me not to say anything at all. And then kind of hide in myself, pull away, withdraw. And the person I was with had no clue where I was. You know, it's funny. Over the years, my time with Asha has been all about me experiencing what I've done to others. And that's not to say that she is doing those things. And it's also not to say that she's dysfunctional or a problem or anything like that. It just means there are things that I have done, there are behaviors that I have done that I have learned aren't very productive or resourceful in a relationship. And it's not like all my behaviors were terrible or problematic. And it's not like what she did over the years is dysfunctional or toxic or problematic. My point is, and I've just dug myself into a hole, but my point is, I think that what I did to others and what I said to others, because I've healed from a lot of stuff and I've learned a lot about myself, that I needed to experience it in return. I needed to experience it not only to have the perspective of the person that's in on the receiving end of this, but also because it was, I believe, I guess, the universe's way of testing me. God, the universe, whatever you think is out there that might be challenging you, that might be putting you through some sort of trial, I think it comes back to us. Karma? It comes back to us in some way. And this could be practical too. I mean, this could be a practical result of healing and growth. And what I mean by that is when we learn, when we heal, when we improve ourselves, we then start to identify behaviors in others that used to be in us. I really started identifying behaviors in other people that I used to do. Because when you heal from it, it's suddenly noticeable. When you've improved yourself, when you've become a different person even, you see who you used to be, not only in your own memories, but in others. And so I see behaviors in others that I now notice very easily because that's who I was and that's what I did. And so I think what happens is we are presented with these same behaviors, not because and I'm talking practically now, not because it's some spiritual thing, but because they're visible now. They were invisible before because we were in it. We were doing it. We were saying those things. We were doing those things. We were giving people that look, you know, that look. And when those triggers are healed, when we've healed some of our emotional wounds, some of our old traumas, and we have moved forward from there, we suddenly see that stuff in others. And sometimes it could be something benign. It could be something small, but we say to ourselves, oh, I remember when I used to do that. I remember when I was that way. Or it could be worse. It could be hurtful, abusive. It could be something that really insulted someone or made someone feel really bad. And then we can look at that and say, I know why that person feels bad because that person is doing what I used to do. And so we're presented with these things, whether practically because now they're visible and we didn't see them before, or spiritually because now we have to live through what we've made others live through, and there's some spiritual learning there, or cosmically, where what goes around comes around. Whatever your beliefs are, it's probably the same result. However it ends up, it's probably the same result. You're still going to go through it. Whatever you've learned, you're going to go through. Just like when I learned about personal boundaries and I learned to start enforcing my personal boundaries, the very people that I really needed to enforce boundaries around appeared. They appeared in my life or reappeared in my life, and suddenly I'm being tested. That's how I see it. These tests are coming not to throw me off, not to put me back where I was, not to ruin my life, but to strengthen what I've learned and apply what I've learned so that I can ingrain it, so that it becomes intrinsic. It becomes a part of me, a part of my DNA, my programming, so that when it happens again, which it will, when it happens again in the future, I'm prepared and it'll be my automatic response. That's what we want. We want that automatic response. And yes, I'm afraid to tell you this. It's okay that these tests, these challenges come along because it gives you a chance to use what you've learned, or it gives you a chance to learn something new. And if you ask for it, it will come. I'm afraid to say that too, because one day in 2008 or 9, I asked for it. And I had the biggest anxiety / panic attack of my life. I asked for it. And it came. And it was extremely painful and scary, and one of the most liberating, most life-changing events in the entirety of my existence. That was the day I broke down in Arizona in the desert, and I was 1,000 miles from home, and I asked for it. I remember having a conversation with a guy that I was in class with in Sedona. I noticed how happy he was, and he seemed very fulfilled. It was like that was his energy. And so I said, wow, how do you do that? What is your secret? And I think we talked about God. We talked about spirituality. And I remember thinking, wow, I want to feel like you feel. I want to be like you. How do I do that? How do I have these beliefs that you have that make you feel so happy and fulfilled and walking around in this energy? And he said something I'll never forget. He said, you have to have a mystical experience. He says, you can't go do it. You can't learn it. You just have to have it. And I said, well, that kind of leaves me high and dry here because what does that mean? I just have to wait for it to happen? And he couldn't answer that. But I really wanted what he had. And so that night, I asked for it. I'm laughing now because it was just so powerful and so impactful in my life. And I had no idea it was coming the very next day. But I went to my rental room that I was using And I asked, I don't know, the universe, God. I said, I want a mystical experience. I want that. That's what I want. I want what he has. I want a mystical experience. I was dead serious. And so as I was driving out of Sedona, my car was acting up. And I thought, oh, crap, my car's acting up. I don't have any money. I don't have any extra money, at least. I spent all my money coming to Arizona. It was a class I was taking. And I had just enough to get home, you know, with my gas card. I didn't even have any cash. And so here's my car acting up. And I thought, okay, maybe it's just overheating. It's hot up here. I'll pull into a gas station, clunk, 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 and pulled up to the pump. I filled the tank and let it sit for a while. Then I started it back up and everything seemed great. And then a few miles down the road, clunk, 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 and I knew this was a terrible thing. This was happening. I needed to pull over and I found a service station. And I'm not going to go through the whole story again because I did talk about it a few times on the show before, but it really comes down to I pulled into this service station. I asked him, hey, can you look at my car? He said, absolutely. I can do it on Tuesday and it'll cost about $600. Tuesday, that's like 3 days away. All these thoughts went in my head. What am I going to do, sleep in my car? I don't even have enough water or food to do that. I can't afford a hotel. I'm stuck here in Arizona. What am I going to do? And so I'm going to get to the conclusion of this story, because what ended up happening was this tow truck driver comes and I asked him, hey, can you just take a quick look at my car? I figured this guy's got to have mechanical experience or something. Just come and take a quick look at it. So we walk over to my car and I'm thinking, this is it. God, the universe, somebody is sending me a guardian angel. Somebody is sending me the solution. This is it. This must be my mystical experience. Someone saving me. And we walk to my car. I open the hood. He looks at it. I can't start it, or maybe I did, but it just sounded awful. And he said, oh, that doesn't sound good at all. And then my heart sank a little bit. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I don't know if I can do anything for you. And I thought, what? But you're supposed to be here to save me. This is the universe sending me my savior. You are supposed to be here to save me. This is what I was thinking. Because I really believed everything happens for a reason. And when these things happen, there's a solution around the corner. And then he looked at it and he just shook his head. There's nothing I can do. And I was having a panic attack. And I was married at the time, and I called my wife and said, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck here. And her and I had been going back and forth on the phone. And my panic and anxiety were reaching an all-time high. And I didn't know what to do. I couldn't do anything. I was stuck. And so I think what ended up happening was that I became so panicked that I found out what happens when an anxiety attack doesn't end. I found out what happens when the worst case scenario unfolds and blows the top open. It's like the pressure has come to a point and blew the lid off. That's the only way I can explain that, or explain what happened, is that my panic and anxiety reached the all-time high, the highest point I'd ever felt in my life, and it was continuing to rise higher. Have you ever seen the first Willy Wonka on the Chocolate Factory? At the end, they get in the elevator, and it continues to rise higher and rise higher and rise higher, and then suddenly, it goes through the roof, and they're flying through the air. Sorry if that gives away the plot to anyone, but it's part of the movie, and that's a good analogy for this. So that's what happened to my anxiety. It reached the peak, it reached the threshold, and then blew the top off. And I've experienced what it's like to have the worst panic attack that became whatever I feared happening afterward. The worst case scenario unfolded, and I reached a threshold, and the threshold didn't hold. The boundary didn't hold, and it blew the boundary off my threshold, if that makes any sense. I discovered what happens when pressure builds to the point where it can no longer be contained. And that's where I was, and that blew up inside me. I just felt it, and what ended up happening was something so unexpected that it changed my life. In that moment of the peak of my anxiety and it blowing the top off my threshold, what ended up happening is I felt the most intense peace. I felt the most peace I had ever felt in my life. In that moment of pure panic and anxiety, the worst case scenario, what I feared most was happening. And what I feared most was leaving all my stuff in Arizona and having to get a ride home, leaving all my stuff. I mean, I had like thousands of dollars worth of the stuff I moved with in my car. I had my mom's stained glass lamp that she made. I had all my tools. I had audio equipment. I had everything in there. Don't ask me why. Everything was just in my car and I was traveling with it. We just moved. So I just left everything in there and I was traveling around with it and I was going to go, I think we were moving from California and I went straight to Arizona instead of going to Texas where we moved at one point. And I stopped in Arizona for my class for a couple weeks and I was going to come home. And so my panic reached an all-time high. It blew the top open. And then I was in this peace, this feeling of peace that I cannot describe. But I had no stress, no worry. And I went to the tow truck driver and I said, how would you like to buy my car and everything in it for $200? He said, what? And I showed him what was in it. And he said, okay. And then I sold everything, my car, everything in it. And that $200 bought me a bus ticket home. And he drove me to the bus station. I actually gave him $20. So I had $180 in my pocket now, but I bought my ticket and I had a 24-hour bus ride home. I had a few stops here and there, but that bus ride home was also crazy magical in a way because there was a Native American guy singing in the back. I think I just spoke about this the other episode I did, but there was a Native American guy singing in the back and that's all you could hear. And I felt like this is the mystical experience. This is what I asked for. And I feel so at peace, so wonderful, so good, even though everything that just happened to me put me at the height of panic. And when I got home, my wife was saying, are you okay? Aren't you upset? Aren't you worried? And I said, no, I've never felt better in my life. And that was the day I became more of a minimalist. Not complete minimalism, but I was okay with letting go of stuff. That was the change that I asked for, the mystical experience that I asked for. And it made me realize that are two things. When you ask for it, when you're serious, you're going to get it. This is what I believe. And the anxiety attack, the panic attacks that we feel, if we don't let them go to completion, they may stick around. This may be controversial, but if you experience panic or anxiety and you are so worried about what might happen because you're anxious about it, so you don't want something to happen, that's why you're anxious about it. If you fear what might happen, if it actually does happen, where does the panic and anxiety go? Because the fear that you have of something happening isn't there if something happens. I mean, if the thing you fear happens, the panic and anxiety that you have been feeling can't exist anymore because what you feared happening did happen, if that makes sense. And again, that's controversial and it's not going to work for everyone the same way, but I went through it and it surprised me. But when I realized that I could just let everything go, then the fear of losing it went away. Wow, that was insane. It was intense, insane. And for years, I couldn't talk about that story without bursting into tears. it comes up now for me. It's like, I feel the tears coming up because it was just so impactful. It was so powerful in my life. And I couldn't talk about it for years without crying. People would look at me funny, like, why are you crying? What's going on? And it's hard to explain to anyone. It's hard to explain to you that experience, how impactful, how powerful it was. And it is because I asked for it. And this really does come back to what I was talking about, which is what you learn and what you heal from will very likely come back either as a test or some sort of wisdom that you need to gain, or to prepare you for something even more challenging in the future. Because I tell you what, after that incident about letting all my stuff go, a couple of years later, my wife and I were broke. We did lose just about everything. The place where we were living, we had to live with her mom in this tiny little 600 square foot apartment, and all we had was her car, because my car was gone. So all we had was her car and a few small things, and we ended up going to the soup kitchen every day. And I was okay with it, and she was okay too. We were getting along fine. Both of us were just getting along, going to the soup kitchen every morning and just taking life as it came. And I would not have been okay had I not gone through that experience, because I was always, I don't know, materialistic. I always felt like I was in lack and I wanted to keep my stuff, wanted to hold on to it. And so having to let go that day, I was able to let go of so much more. I ended up declaring bankruptcy. I lost so much. I lost a condo that I was renting out, everything. And I was okay with it. And I had to go through that experience. I believe, that's what I believe. I had to go through that experience because I do believe that these tests, these challenges come for us. That sounds ominous, but they come into our lives because of something that we either have already learned or need to learn or need to apply, so that when it happens again in the future, we're prepared. It doesn't mean what happens in the future will be easy. It just means we'll be in a place to be able to handle it. Because most of my life, I've not been able to handle things because I didn't want to deal with them. Because I was the type of person that says, I'm okay, nothing's wrong, everything's fine. And I'll not look at the person. I'll not want to deal with it. I don't want conflict. Just like Asha. She didn't want conflict that day. Nothing's wrong. Yet I knew something was wrong. I was looking into her eyes, and her eyes were looking somewhere else. And I knew something was wrong. And I had gone through enforcing boundaries and communicating with people in a way that brings out honesty. And I said the magic words, I know something's wrong. I know it. And then I just told her, you've not been looking at me. You've not been giving me a kiss. It's been a few days. And when I ask you if something's wrong and you say nothing's wrong, it doesn't feel like nothing. So I know something is wrong. And I told her, whatever it is, go ahead and tell me so we can talk through it. We can talk it out. And she finally said, well, I don't want to. I said, why? And she said, because of how you'll respond. You might be upset. And I told her, make me upset. Make me angry, whatever it takes, because I can't be with someone who doesn't want to connect with me, who doesn't want to talk to me. I've known something has been wrong for a few days, but I've given you some time, and now you can't tell me nothing's wrong, so here we are. You can't tell me something's wrong when I feel it. And so I said, go ahead and just speak it out. And if we get into an argument, so be it. At least it's not this. What's going on? And she said, are you sure? And I said, yes. And she finally said, well, remember when you said that you were going to help me, I think it was a financial thing, help me financially, and I'm struggling now because I can barely afford this and I can barely afford that, and you've been living here, and And I said, whoa, this is about money? I didn't know you were struggling. I did not know she was struggling. And I said, of course. I mean, of course I'll help you. I didn't know that this was a challenge for you. And I think she said something like, well, I thought you'd figure that out. I said, I mean, I can look back now and think, well, I'm a guy. So I didn't. I need to be told. And this is what her friend told her. She said, you know, guys need to be told. They need to be told what is on your mind. They need to be told what's wrong, because some of them are kind of dense. So I took that as me being dense and not figuring it out. I thought everything was okay. But she said, no, I need help. I said, then I can help. I didn't know. Back then, I didn't realize that her signs for struggle, I didn't understand her signs for struggle. I didn't know what they were. I was just expecting someone to say, hey, I'm struggling here. Can you help? That was where I was. And she didn't say that. So I just thought, okay, everything must be fine. Yes, I was, I guess, dense. I'll say it. I was dense back then. Now I understand better, but I had to go through that learning experience. But she finally said that. And I said, oh, this is what it's about. I thought we had agreed that this is going to go this way. And we had a conversation about it. And she said, no, I'm really struggling. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I'll fix that. I'll do whatever I can. And then we got along. And she started looking at me again. And she started kissing me. We connected again. And this was great. This is what I wanted. I wanted to connect again. And of course, I followed through. I didn't just say, oh, I'll help you. I'll take care of it. And then not worry about it anymore. I followed through. It was a real issue. It was a tangible issue. She put it on the table. We could talk about it and we can work it out, because we're a couple. We're in this relationship together and we should put things on the table to work out. If something is on her mind, I want to know. If something is on my mind, she wants to know. Doesn't mean we share every single little thing that comes to mind, but we don't leave things in the dark. If something is bothering one of us, we'll bring it up. And after we talk about it, there is some sort of next step or resolution or closure. And if there isn't closure, then we do our best to reach some sort of closure or agreement or disagreement. But we find a way through it. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because some people will say, nothing's wrong. Some people won't want to talk about things. Some people won't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to express something because of the fear of the consequences of doing so. Just like I had a fear of the consequences. I had a fear of somebody leaving me or getting upset if I said what was really on my mind. If I said something like, when you do that, it upsets me. If I said that, then they might leave me. And I had such a fear of abandonment that I wouldn't say anything. So I would do other tiny little destructive things that caused a big problem in the relationship. I would give my partner the silent treatment. I would give people false information. I wouldn't tell them what was really going on inside of me. I just allowed my festering to continue inside whatever is going on inside of me. I just allowed that to stay. I didn't want to let it out. If I had let it out and put it on the table, we could talk about it. But I didn't want that. I had too much fear. And so she had some fear. This was what I was facing. Her fear was like my fear in my past. And I told myself, when I get into the next relationship, I'm not hiding anything. I'm not going to hide these stupid little things that are inside of me that trigger me or worry me. I'm just going to face my fear. I'm going to walk into the fire and say, this is what's happening. I don't care if I get burned. This is what's happening. Well, what if she leaves you? Then that's how it is. If she leaves me, then our relationship wasn't strong at all. If I can't bring up this hard stuff, these hard truths, then why are we together? Because we're supposed to be working on this thing together. And if I bring up a hard truth and she can't handle it, then what's the rest of the relationship look like? It's not very strong if that's the case. If someone is going to just get up and leave after you bring up a hard truth, then there's a problem happening already. There's already something wrong or something that needs work that hasn't been happening. And sometimes we just have to start the process of working on what's not happening. What's not happening? We're not connecting. How can we connect? Well, we have to be honest with each other. But if we're honest with each other, it could tick each other off. So what? What are you going to do? Just be in silence all the time? You're going to walk around in fear and walking on eggshells? Or are you going to bring it up and talk about what's on your mind? But if I talk about what's on my mind, they may get angry. Yeah, but if you don't, then you stay in this state of mind, this state of emotion, this suppressed state of being. And you can't fully be yourself. You can't fully feel authentic. You can't feel like your genuine self. And so you portray yourself in the best way possible without actually being your most authentic self. And that may not be enough. I mean, it could be, but it may not be. For me, it was never enough to be enough. It would be like there's a lot of things going on inside of me. And I don't want to speak about those things because I don't want that person to be angry or leave me. So I'll do my best and I'll suppress the rest. And then I'll show up as the best version of myself I can be, which certainly wasn't the best. It was just the best I could do at the time. But then over the years, I learned that the best version of me is the one that doesn't hold back. I mean, the hard truths. I don't hold back the hard truths. So if something needs to be said, we should talk about it. We should bring it out in the open. Let's talk about it. Hey, when you did that, it made me feel disrespected. Hey, when you said that to me, it made me feel like you didn't care about me. Let's talk about that. And when you find someone that is willing to do that same thing, I mean, if you're looking for a relationship or even a friendship or in your family, if both of you can speak that way and speak honestly, then you'll expect that every time. And you'll also realize that they are a genuine person. So when they say something like, hey, I really think you're great, you believe them because they're not one to lie. They're not one to exaggerate. They're just a straight shooter. Not everyone's like that. It's hard to find that, but it's worth exploring with people in your life. It's worth exploring to expand a relationship that may feel suppressed, like it hasn't reached its full potential, like there's something under the surface that isn't talked about and it needs to be talked about. Like that unspoken thing that we never talk about, because every time we talk about it, we get into an argument. How can we find closure there? How can we get to a point where we finally just blow the lid off and bring it out into the open? The worst case scenario unfolds. Can we get to a new level of connection? Or is the next level distancing ourselves from each other? Is the next level breaking up? Is the next level saying, look, this isn't working out. You're my friend, but we clearly don't agree on this. So I don't know how we can move forward. And that might be very hard to say or even think about. But sometimes I look at it this way. I look at it as we can either hold this in the whole time we're around each other, or just bring it out, bring it up, and see where it goes. Because we're both thinking something. We're both thinking, well, they don't agree with me and they feel this way and I don't agree with them and I feel this way. Let's just bring it up and let it explode and see what happens. I'm not giving you this advice. I'm not saying that this is what you should do. And not everyone can have a conversation like that. I'm saying when you have a conversation where you are willing to express yourself and they are willing to express themselves too, that maybe some things can be cleared up. Or maybe not. And maybe it'll make things worse. But this comes back to what you want in your life. What do you want for a friendship or a relationship or anyone that you have a conversation with? What do you really want? Do you want to talk about the weather and never talk about that hard subject? Or do you want to bring that hard subject into the light and put it on the table, make it tangible, and just have it out? And then find out where the relationship ends up. I know, that's just, how can we even think like that? How am I going to do that? That's going to cause so many problems. And so, yes, we might have to leave well enough alone too. We might have to say, no matter how many times we talk about this, it always ends up badly. So we've agreed not to talk about this. That's fine too. If you are both okay with that and the rest of your time is quality, I don't have a problem with that at all. There are people with different political views that hang out and they know that they don't agree on a lot of things, but they don't talk about the politics and everything else is great. Everything else is fine with them as long as those politics don't come up. So they hold in who they really are. It is one issue, right? You can't be your 100% authentic self with certain people because they want to be their 100% authentic self and there's an incompatibility. And when there's an incompatibility, you may not be able to fully express yourself because there'll always be a problem there. So I'm not saying that it's always important to express everything that's on your mind all the time. I'm saying that when there's withholding going on, when you're holding on to something that is actually slowly chipping away at who you are, who you want to be, then maybe it's time to consider bringing it up and seeing what happens and knowing there's a risk involved. This is one thing I told Ash. I said, I'm going to tell you the truth at the risk of losing you. I said something like that a long time ago. I said, I would rather risk our relationship and be dishonest. I would rather risk you being upset with me and leaving me than have to lie or withhold information from you. Because I never want to live like that again. That was my whole history, my whole past. I never want to live like that. I never want to hold back who I really am. I never want to repress my thoughts and suppress my emotions. I want to be who I am, and I want to be accepted for who I am. And when you find someone in your life that accepts you for who you are, that's a good feeling. That's a great feeling. And if they don't, that's what I'm talking about. If they don't accept you for who you are, you may have to show certain people who you are and see what they do with it. Some people won't like it because they really like who you've been because it fits in their perfect model of reality. This is who I am comfortable with you being. And if you're okay with that kind of friendship or relationship, then more power to you. But if not, this may be the universe's way of challenging you to reach a new level inside yourself to prepare you for what's next. And what's next could be one of the greatest things, one of the greatest feelings that you could ever have. You just might have to decide if you're ready for that. And that can be scary. I've been there. I know what it's like. I can't imagine what's next. I'm so glad that you listened today. Thank you for tuning into another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our patrons who support the show financially. I am so grateful for you. They found value in the show and decided to give back, and I'm very appreciative. Thank you, patrons. And if you find value in the show and you want to give back too, head over to moretob.com for information on how to do that over there. And for a show on how to navigate the difficult relationship, head over to my other podcast called Love and Abuse over at loveandabuse.com. Been doing that since 2019. It's a very informative podcast. I think you'll appreciate it if you are having any relationship difficulties. And if you discover that you're the difficult one in the relationship, join the program that is helping a lot of people heal over at healedbeing.com. And with that, always keep your mind open because that's how you make the best decisions. Be firm in those decisions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.